be here.
Tell them a little bit about who you are. It might be somebody down there.
Okay. Thank you. I am glad to be here this morning. I hope you're not disappointed. I know you came to hear Pastor, and when you come to hear some stranger, you know somebody got a heart for God, and you love to listen to a man with a heart for God. You do not know me, but you take your patience enough to hear me through. So I thank you for taking time this morning to come to the house of God. You made a choice this morning. You made a choice, and I trust it'll be the right one. I know it'll be the right one. I remember those years ago, 38 years ago, I accepted Christ as my Savior. 35 years ago, I had surrendered my life to become a preacher of the gospel of Christ. I'll never forget that day because it was the day that I thought, is it possible that God can use me? I never dreamed, because truly I was a very shy, very timid, very, very awkward young man, green behind the ears, so incapable. But when God reaches in, and you just take those steps and let God do His work in your life. Pastor said in Sunday school this morning, I'm not going to get it. Don't let me forget what He told me to do. I always try to do what He told me to introduce myself. I will at this moment. I didn't do what He told me to do last time I was here, not intentionally. I went out in the woods to beat myself up. I took his stick with me. So 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, I met the gentleman for the first time from the day, 35 years ago. I had listened to a man by the name of James Earl. James Earl is a black preacher whom I surrendered to preach. 35 years ago, and just 2 weeks ago, I was able to see him for the first time again. He's now a frail old man with 85 years of age, getting closer to heaven with a cane. Great sense of humor, but he was I didn't realize it, but he wrote a book. After I met him that evening service, I met him in the morning, the evening service, I came back, he handed me 3 books. I took it home, put it in my nightstand, determined, and I finished reading the book. It's not very long, but I took the time to read the book. 3 years ago, he buried his wife. But, you know, because of this man making the will, desire to go to Oklahoma City and preach, and I saw a man, he had 2 hearing aids on. I saw this man have 2 hearing aids on. I saw another preacher preach with no legs. And I thought, is it possible that God can use me? And, yeah, if he can use him, he can use him. As I shared this once before when I was here last time, I went to ask my pastor, is it possible that God can use me? And my pastor told me to turn to Exodus chapter 4, verse 10, 11, and 12, and I did. I went to Exodus chapter 4, verse 10, 11, and 12, where Moses said, I'm not eloquent, I'm not able, I'm not capable. And then he said, Scott, I want you to read verse 10, 11, and 12, and I did. And he said, is it not I who made the deaf, dumb, and the blind? And the pastor said, which one are you? I said, well, I'm deaf. He said, no, you're dumb. Of course God can use you. And so, you know, we are missionaries to the deaf. We're missionaries to the deaf. Been working with the deaf for over 35 years. I'm thankful to the Lord for what God has done for our life. And now, as deputation is coming to an end, we plan to move to Columbus, Ohio, to establish a deaf church. In that city, we hope to see and pray that God will bring the deaf people with us. You pray that God will give us favor with the deaf. You know, I do have 90% hearing loss, and it's not a bad thing to be deaf. It really isn't. I don't have to listen to my children when they want money. My daughter's been begging me to take her back to camp this year, the far distance. I have to get on an airplane and go. I have to go with her. And it costs a lot of money, and I keep trying to ignore it. And she's been pestering me ever since last summer. Last night, she wrote me a 2-page letter. She wrote me a 2-page letter. Matter of fact, some of the money that you all gave her, during their mission conference, she's saving it. But she doesn't realize I still got to pay my part. And but she's saving that money. She thinks I'm going to take her. She's tugging at me. That's all I can say. And but last night she wrote me a 2-page letter, Pastor, and she brought it down to me. I went to a funeral about 2 hours away, but a gentleman that was 78 years old passed away, and a young man, 23 year old, passed away. He had a 23-year-old young man had a massive heart attack. In 1 month out of the military, they didn't even know he had a lifelong heart problem. And 1 month, 2 months after he got out of the military, 1 month after he got married. And she was a sudden widow only 1 month after marriage. But I went to that wedding. I went to that funeral. It was a wedding. But I went to that funeral, come home. My daughter had a two-page letter written to me saying, Dad, I want you to take time to read this. I'm going to stand right here, and I want you to read this. And as you read this, I want you to know you're the most tender and the most kind father I've ever had. I hope I'm the only father. That should butter me up. You know, your children never do that to you. Well, let me back up. I get sidetracked again. Sometimes my mind just scatters. But get back to what Pastor told me to do. But she's a distraction. My daughter's a distraction. But nevertheless, God has worked and allowed us to know that we are already in the process. Yesterday, I had a chimney fixed. Once I get that chimney fixed, I was laughing because I told one of the gentlemen that was fixing my chimney, selective hearing, it works good. He said $475. I said, okay, we got talking to him a little bit. I know him, and so I said, okay, here, let me go write a $175 check for you. He looked at me and said, you heard me, $475. This is how Pastor told me last time they wouldn't stop, but I was selective. And so this morning, as I said, I understand that he said, just preach on. So don't worry, I know you got children, so I know they can only handle so much. But we are missionaries to the deaf, establishing deaf church in Columbus, Ohio. We're planning to sell our house soon. It's going to be on the market hopefully this week or next week. Put it on the market and sell it, and then we'll be moving. I've already took a 26-foot a U-Haul truck too, and put it in the storage in Columbus. One church has given us 100 padded chairs, and so that's also in that storage. And so there's much to be collected, much to be funds to raise for the startup cost of the deaf church. So you pray for us, because in the fall, the plan is, you know how you plan, God has other plans. But this summer, lay the groundwork, go out and do in the community, meet the deaf, and let them know in the fall we'll start this deaf church. We'll start a Bible study and see how that goes, and Lord willing, start a deaf church in the fall. And I'm already praying about the place, a location. I have a plan B, but I'd like to see if God will allow us to have a plan A. That is to where there are over 300 deaf that live in this 8-story high building, 151 units that are deaf people live in this building. And so I want to see if I can rent out the place. They're already asking at this point. They haven't told me officially, but they're asking $300 a week to use it for 2 hours. And so I'd like to be able to use that for 3 months. And if I can use that for 3 months, then I can turn around. Now, that's totally, they haven't decided yes or no, so you pray. Because all the deaf know where that place is. The idea is, find a familiar place where the deaf people know. And then when they know about it, and then after 3 months, 2 months, 3 months, we'll see how long, and then we'll move to plan B. And that way, I've already got the group. I can explain it to them where it is. It'd be much clearer. Then they can take other people to deaf. They can have other deaf. They can invite, and they can put them in their car, and they can take them to church. So pray with us. The plan is to be on the northwest side of Columbus, Ohio, and much work to be done. Pray, because I am nervous. You start something from scratch. You start from scratch. I'll be very frank with you. I'm scared to death. Up until about 15 years ago, I used to throw up before I preach. And, I'll probably throw up on first day of starting this church. So you pray. And God have his way. And we'll trust that he will. And, all I've tried to do is just be available. That's all God wants. That's all God wants. You remember I told the story last time, the state of Ohio declared me mentally retarded. And, but God can take any life and change it for his glory. And so you pray, and you pray for us. I know you pray. I was looking forward to coming when God gave me peace about coming down here. And We're trying to visit a church like yours who supports us because one more time before we leave. And it's liable to get sold in 1 week, 1 month, hopefully not 1 year. And so you just pray. Okay? In Matthew chapter 2, did I say everything? Okay, I want to make sure. Thank you. My wife wants to make sure. Before I go out the door, does your wife ever do this to you? You get right out the door, she looks you over. She makes sure you look right. If you pack that right, well, she likes to take and lick my back of my hair. My mother used to do that. you pray. All right, this morning, but pray. If you were not here during the mission conference, please, my wife brought a few prayer cards. We would certainly love for you to take that prayer card and remember to pray for us. And so please, we'll leave a few back here. If it's okay with Brother Mike, we'll leave it back there around the booth. I don't know if he wants to take them off, throw them in the trash, whatever he wants to do with them. By the way, did you get fired? You don't play guitar no more. No, you got fired? Okay, well, you probably deserved it, so. okay. well, praise the Lord. You're training somebody else to do it. Amen. All right, but Matthew chapter 2 this morning. Matthew chapter 2. I hope I was praying about, I told Pastor last evening that I was coming, and he said, just be ready to preach. I didn't know what that meant, and just be ready. But sometimes, you know, I could come in and just stand up here and just say some things and trust to be of the Lord. But, you know, when I have a little more time prepared, this is a sermon God put in my heart many years ago. And so I prayed about it. And this is one of those messages where you have to think about it. You have to work on it. I literally had to study this message over 40 hours and put it together. So it's one of those messages. If I mess it up, forgive me. But I hope I would get clear to you this morning. And at Matthew chapter 2, beginning with verse number 1. And now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born of the King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, It is in Bethlehem of Judah, for thus it is written by the prophet, that, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people, Israel. Then when Herod, he had privately called the wise men, and inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared, He sent them to Bethlehem, and he said, go and search diligently for the child, for the young child. When ye have found him, bring me word again, that ye may come, and that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced in exceedingly great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child Mary and his mother, and fell and worshipped him. When they had opened up their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. For being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And now, because of time, we'll go ahead and go, verse 13. And when they were departed, the angels of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt. Behold, be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by the night and departed into Egypt. And when they were and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Verse 16, and finally, the last verse. And then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, and was exceedingly wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coast thereof from 2 years and old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise man. Father, I beg for your help this morning. I beg for you to reach down and work through me. And Father, may I become a vessel that just being a channel to be able to go and touch the lives of people here in this room. I pray, Father, that you will work through me through the anointment of the Holy Spirit of God. I pray, Father, for your hand to guide. And Lord, if there be people in here this morning that are not saved, let them turn their hearts to Christ. And Father, if there are people here that are saved, we know they are. But Lord, let us turn our life, turn our hearts, and fully focus on the things that which we should. And let our life be a shining light for Christ and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Here we know that many of you have heard the story of how Jesus was born. And here Jesus was being born. And as he was born, God had supernaturally brought about a pregnancy in Mary. God had chosen a man by the name of Joseph to go along with her. They were his espoused wife. But as we see that they took the journey and the baby was being born, there was a man by the name of Herod the Great. Herod the Great was heard about the birth, and he sought and inquired of people, so you tell me where this child is being born. As he heard and they debated about where he was born, they took off to the place where they believed that Jesus was to be born. The wise men carried great gifts with them, and as they went into their gifts, they carried those gifts, and the star was literally shining. They followed the star, and they got to the star, and they discovered exactly where Jesus was born. And they walked into the house. As they walked into the house, they fell to the ground, and they worshipped him. But when they worshipped him, they had laid down gifts, as we know the three gifts. And sometimes people misinterpret it, believe that they're three wise men because of three gifts. The Bible doesn't say that there were three wise men. But here it is: these wise men had been astounded by the birth of Jesus, and they've realized that their eyes have just beheld. And then the Bible says after this, all these things that came about, he says in verse 12, these three men, they were being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, and they departed into their own country another way. Thank God for the day that the wise men listened. You know, that's a whole sermon by itself, the day the wise men listened. But the men here at verse 12, they had already been astounded by this birth, and they've been moved in such a way to disregard the orders that were given to them by Herod. And so when they disregarded the orders and they failed, they were changed people, if you ask me. They walked out and went another way. Now, please understand, when Herod the Great asked for all babies to be born from 2 years and under, to be slaughtered from 2 years and under, it was because the timeline from the time that he had given the direct order to the time present. You have to understand, if back in the early days of our country, if you wanted to go home for Christmas and you lived in Connecticut, you would have to leave in June to get home to California in December. It was a long way to travel. I don't have time. I can't really. I can tell you stories of how Thomas Jefferson would go from one place to get from his home to the White House or get home to the Capitol. It didn't just take a couple of hours. Today, we can literally get there in less than an hour. But yet, it took days and sometimes weeks to travel to a certain distance. But you know, but here it is. God, we see how Herod the Great had given order to these men. I want you to go find out where he is. And when you find out where he is, please come back to where I am and give me the order. Tell me where he is so I can go back and worship him also. But we all know the story of how Herod had no intentions of worshiping him. And the wise men knew something about that, and so they went the other way. But here it is in verse number, after the wise men had already departed, they left the house, they left the baby, they left Mary, they left Joseph. And then the Bible says in verse 13, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. Be thou there until I bring you word again. Thank God for a day when Joseph had listened. The Spirit of God has spoke to Joseph's heart, and Joseph obeyed the Spirit of God. As a man of the head his home, he was a man that listened to the Spirit of God, and because of that, he went to Egypt and he stayed there until the death of Herod. Had he not listened that day, I want to challenge you, had he not listened to the Spirit of God, we would never have known this person named Jesus. Now, I realize that God in this supernatural way will find a way to make happen what he wants to happen. But what I want to focus on this morning, if I could, is understand something. That the life of the obedience of even the wise man to go to different direction, and the obedience of Joseph to listen to the Spirit of God, it was the turning events of the history in which you and I know today. Thank God. Pray I don't cough on all of them. But here we see that what we find in the lineage of Joseph, we will find blessings after blessings after blessings after blessings in the life. Now I can go, but we go, but here's what I want to focus on this morning. The Herod the Great, because of his choices, because of his decisions, because of his deceitfulness, we will find that the life of Herod had brought tragedy after tragedy after tragedy into the family heritage. So this morning, if I could, without going to the Herod, but in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26 through 28, we'll find there's curse and blessings in our families. But here, in Matthew chapter 2, in verse 7, it says, then Herod, he had privately called the wise men and had diligently inquired what time the star had appeared. Here in verse 16, he says, and then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise man, he was exceedingly wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were born in Bethlehem. And to the coast that were under 2 years old. I'm paraphrasing the last part. Forgive me for that. But here it says in Mark chapter, then we find not only the father made a decision, we find that Mark made a decision. Excuse me. We find that his son had made a decision in Mark chapter 6, verse 22, 27, and verse 29. We see here in Mark chapter 6 and verse 22, the son had made a decision, and the Bible says in verse 22, when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said to the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head be brought. And he, now, by the way, I have had to skip a few verses because of time, but you'll find that the daughter had asked for the head of John the Baptist. And then he said in verse 27, and immediately the king has sent an executioner, verse 27, and commanded his head to be brought, and he went and beheaded him in prison. At verse 29, and when the disciples heard of it, they came and looked upon his corpse and laid it in a tomb. Here it is. Here we see a father that had things against the work of God. We see a son that had things against the work of God. Now we see the grandson in Acts chapter 12 at verse number 1 and 2. Acts chapter 12, verse number 1 and 2, the Bible says, in Acts chapter 12, he says here, I'll get here in a moment, we'll have some visual aids for you. I know we're all a little slow, you're all like me, we're mental retarded people, so I'll try to help you understand where I'm going this morning. In Acts chapter 12, verse number 1 and 2, he said, verse number 1, now about that time the king stretched forth his hand and to fix the certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. That's the grandson. And then we see in Acts chapter 25, verse 13, he said, and after certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice came to Caesarus, and saluted Festus. Here for Acts chapter 26, here we see where, I won't take time to read that verse, but it says in Acts chapter 26, thou, Paul, had gone before Agrippa, and thou almost persuades me to be a Christian. Now I'll say to you this morning, as you can decide what you're going to do, to become or not to become, and what you decide and your decisions you make, they will affect you, they will affect your family, they will affect others, and they will affect the outcome of your life. Herod's decision to slaughter all the children of the 2 years and under, he made a Christ the most wanted man in all of Judea. His decision affected his family with a great curse that was passed for several generations. He felt threatened by the entering of another king into the country. The joy that was to be brought into the world was threatened to be stopped. But yet, we know that Joseph had made a decision in verse 13 to flee into Egypt and affect not only his family, but the entire world. After 2,000 years since Christ was born, the world is still affected. He is the Savior. He is the bread of life. He is the one that takes broken lives and puts the pieces back together. And he brings love to those with broken homes. He brought in broken marriages. He puts together broken relationships. And he puts together broken hearts. Thank God that Joseph obeyed the Spirit of God. I say to you this morning, if you consider the heritage of in the family, we see that Herod the Great threatened and slaughtered thousands of babies in seeking to kill Jesus. Augustus once said, "I'd rather be Herod's hog than his son." Herod the Antipas, his son, Herod the Great's son, he killed John the Baptist. Herod Agrippa the First, his grandson, killed James the Apostle. Herod Agrippa the Second, his great-grandson, put the apostles on trial, put the Apostle Paul on trial, and there's something, all of these men in the life of Herod the Great had something to do, to be against the work of God. Somebody said, Herod the Great, why is he great? He's great because he's simply a great builder. But I will say to you this morning, if you please listen to me this morning, if you would listen to me this morning, because this is so important. When I was so challenged by this message, I realized what it was doing to my life. I realized the things that were coming into my life were sometimes passed down, whether they were good or whether they were not. I had to decide what I am going to do. Herod the Great had committed immorality. So followed his son, his grandson, and his great-grandson. Herod the Great had a great temper. He was followed by his son, and his grandson. Herod the Great was deceitful. He was deceitful. He learned how to get what he wanted through deceit and lies. So was his son and his grandson. Herod the Great was jealous and hateful. So was his son, his grandson, and his great-grandson. And finally, at the end of his life, life, Herod the Great died of a great disease. At least three in Herod's family died of suicide. Herod the Antipas, his son, was banned to Gaul by act of treason and died in misery. Herod the Agrippa the First, grandson, died of worms. Slowly, death ate through his body and died in misery. Herod the Agrippa almost broke the curse in Acts chapter 26, verse 27, and when he stated, "Thou almost persuades me to be a Christian." I say to you this morning, you may say, "What I do is nobody else's business," but yet I can challenge you this morning, if you look at the life of Herod the Great and what it did to his son, what it did to his grandson, what it did to his great-grandson, you can consolidate easily 300 years. Your decisions that you make today could affect for the next 300 years. You say, "What I do is nobody else's business." You've been listening to humanism too long, because it's not just your business. It's affecting the outcome of your family. Amen. Every decision you make will affect. I usually get four generations of people, but pastors told me last night, be ready to preach, but I learned when I had gone out with Brother Williams to Cracker Barrel, I ran into Shot and Sharon and Mike, and they told me, "Pastor would do anything." And so I didn't know what that meant. Am I going to preach or not going to preach? And I got a little bit of indication when I was in Sunday school. So he said, "If I was to preach," okay, so maybe that means I am going to preach. So, so I learned. So I didn't pick out four people before my message because I didn't know. I didn't want to go up, "Will you help me? Will you help me? Will you help me?" Then he's preaching. I feel like a fool. You talk about being embarrassed. You're down in Sunday school. You know, I didn't want to be embarrassed. And so, well, I only need four men to come up here if you can. If you come up here in the blue shirt, if you come up and with your brown sweater, you come up here and you come up here and give me that tall dude. Who's a big tall dude? You know, yeah, you come up here. Okay? Okay. You come over here. You come over here. You're the son. You're the grandson. And you're the great grandson. I know it looks odd, don't it? But here, Herod the Great, he had killed baby Jesus, or sought to. Herod the Antipas, his son, had killed John the Baptist. Herod the Agrippa the First had killed James the Apostle and had persecuted Peter and thousands of Christians. But here, Herod the Great the Second. I got to read this, but help me out too. So here they are. Every one of these has something to do with the work of God. And if we look into the life, not everything I'm going to give you, not everything I'm going to give you this morning, as far as this lineage, is all about what was passed down. But just to get the truth across to you this morning, you have to understand what has happened in the life of these men. It can't happen in today's society. So follow with me this morning. He said here, this in his temper, Herod the Great had a temper, and he passed that down to his son. He passed that down to his son. He passed that down to his son. I told you we're all mental retarded. Okay. At Christmas time, I went to my mother. My mother's 78 years old, and my mom had made some great biscuits and gravy. That's our famous thing at Christmas time. She just makes a load of biscuits and gravy. My mother is the kind of person that will buy a Christmas present beginning in January, and when it comes December, she don't know where they're located at. She has to go find them. But I went up to my mom after we were cooking. She turned around from the stove, and I look at her. My mom's a little lady, and I said, "Mom." My mom went, "You're married?" "No, Mom, we're supposed to." "Come on, Pastor." Okay. Oh, I love my mother. Pray for her. Her health's not well. She's had a rough year. But you're okay. Okay? But Herod the Great He had anger. And it was passed down to his son. Oh, just keep on passing it. Keep on passing. I don't like to waste time drinking water while I preach, but you don't want to hear a choking preacher either, do you? Suicide was passed down to his son and his grandson. I mean, attempt. If not, they did. Dishonesty was passed down to the grandson and the great-grandson. Down to her. Jealousy was passed down from the father, the son, the grandson, and the great-grandson. I guess grandson don't know how to hold everything, so... Okay, it's okay if you want to do it this way, okay? Okay. Man. You got a project ahead of you. Selfishness was passed down from the son, the father, son, and the grandson, and the great-grandson. Pride was passed down from the father to the son, to the grandson, and then to the great-grandson. Hatefulness was passed down from father, son, great-son, grandson, and the great-grandson. And now I want to say to you this morning we see these things that come about. We see how in their heritage, what they have been passing down. You say, it's none of my business. It's none of your business what I do. If you'll look and study the scriptures, you'll see the how and what your sins can truly be passed down. Your children, my children will watch everything we do, whether we tell them something. Very, 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 very rarely will it be that we tell them, don't do what I do, will they listen. Oftentimes, they will listen to what we do rather than what we don't do. And you know, you neglect your children, you watch the next generation come along, and then and then you wonder, why did I do wrong? What happened? Why didn't that thing go right? And we'll see these things passed down. I have a whole sermon I prayed about, was preaching a message on bitterness this morning, but God wasn't with us this morning. But that's passed down. And then you're a father. You come to church and you hear the pastor and you hear the stories, and you come home, you go home, and you don't discuss, hey, what did the pastor have to say? What did the pastor say to us that might help us spiritually? You begin to develop a critical spirit, and you pass that criticism down, whether you know it or not. Your children are listening. And then, you know, marriages are not holding together anymore. It used to be where more Christians would stick to their marriage and make their marriage work. But marriages are falling apart. It used to be a time where the world, the church, the Christians were here, and the world was here. But as generations go by, the Christians move here, and the Christians are kind of slowly moving. They're moving, but yet Christians are moving at a faster speed than the world, and we get caught up with them. And now today, our the system of marriage is to just split it up if we can't get along. So we find, if you don't be careful, you have to just be very, very careful, because the truth of the matter is, your divorce can be passed down. It don't have to be. I'm from a divorced home. So don't. It doesn't have to be. I'll share that with you in just a moment. But here we find you may have a sense of laziness, can't seem to get anything done, and no food's not being put in the refrigerator. You're not doing the job that needs to be taken care of. And you'll find out, by your example, those things are being passed down. There's so many people, you know this to be true, that the welfare, they get on the welfare, and they just produce another welfare recipient, and they get another welfare recipient, and another one. It's just happening all over. You go down to the inner cities, you find the drugs that are passed down. It's constantly, fathers are washing, the sons are washing the fathers, and it's just constantly being passed down. I say to you this morning, you've got to be careful about what you do. You say you're just like your mother. Gentlemen, be careful. They very well could be. Not always a good thing. But you're just like your mother, the husband says. In many ways, it can be true. Dating couples, be careful. Curses in families can be broken when one has the courage and the commitment to change it. Oh, but listen closely. As I said earlier, every decision you make affects you, your family, and others, and the outcome of your life. Oh, I say, but we say, it is none of your business, or what I do is not hurting anybody. As I said earlier, it does hurt more than just one person. Generation after generation are being passed. You can make a choice this morning. You can make a choice this morning of allowing God to come into your life and be saturated with the things of God. And you watch God get a hold of. The pastor said this morning, it begins here. But when it goes here and stirs up the heart. And you can go any direction. Now, it's easy for the appetite of the world to overtake. The carnal nature is very easy. Easy to overcome the spiritual nature, so you have to keep the mind of battle and fighting that battle constantly. Father, I say to you this morning, if you don't fight the battle, you'll lose the battle and you'll destroy your children, and your children will bring grief to your heart. And you'll live a life full of grief and misery and unhappiness because you did not take the stand and say, we've got to do the right thing in our home. Oh, I beg you to understand that you say, well, it ain't going to happen to me. The very first person that said it ain't going to happen to me, it's probably going to happen. You say one little drink never hurt nobody. Well, you try to tell them they were an alcoholic. And they were on the AA trying to get a victory. And their life and their home, they're all shambles. All because way back here, when everything was going well, they saw something they wanted to try just one time. Just once. You can make a decision this morning that you will not follow the way of Herod. Salvation. My girl, my Brooklyn, come up here, honey. Jessica, come up here. You listen to me. Both of you. I told you they're retards. Over here. Listen to me. I've been saved for 38 years. And there's never a day that goes by that temptation doesn't come my way. Whether it is to quit, or whether it's a spiritual battle, or whatever it may be, it comes my way. And I just, Pastor talked about being sincere this morning in Sunday school. He said, be sincere, be real. Come on, fellas. Why don't you just be real? Tell people how it really is. I tell missionaries all the time, tell them how it really is. Don't tell somebody how all those wonderful stories. And sometimes missionaries are their own mission. They're their own enemy. A missionary goes to the mission field in Africa. They tell about this green mama, black mama that came up to the doorstep. And they tell this story like it's the way of life in Africa. But yet it hasn't happened but once in 30 years. So therefore, you back in America start, oh, we'll go see your old green mama, old black mama. If you don't know anything about green mama and black mama, they're the most deadliest little snakes in the world. And you say, you come back, you tell those stories. I mean, there's a wonderful story to tell, the bravery of your heart. But I tell you, y'all got to be careful how you say it, because sometimes you intimidate people to surrender. So be careful. But I say to you this morning, the be real. Share your heart. Don't be afraid to tell pastor how things are in your home. And you say, well, I can't do that. He might think, well, wouldn't it be much better to go embarrass yourself? And then you'll have, I mean, wouldn't it be better to go embarrass yourself and I'm not talking about confessing to a priest. I'm talking about getting help. You see, you face, the devil is out to destroy you and me. I was, McKenzie and Dyla, Dula, Data, what's her name? Dre. Hey, never mind. That's a hillbilly song. Never mind. I don't even know. I can't even. 90% hearing loss. What do I know about music? Sometimes I get questionnaires, Pastor. They ask me where my stand on music is. Maybe you did too. I don't know. But I get questionnaires. I say, I don't know where I stand on music. I can't even hear them. That's a joke, but I understand what they're asking. But you know, Brother Dre, you know, is this your son? Come up here, buddy. Okay, he don't want to come up here. Okay, don't worry about it. He's prayed on me. I won't bite. I don't bite. Come up here. You come up here. We let young boy to preach this morning. You come up here. Well, you want to go preach? Go ahead. I want you to look in the eyeballs of this little boy. Look in the eyeballs of this young man. There's something going on up here. There's something going on up here. And whatever going on in up here can be helped by the way you and I live. My girl, no, I fail. But there's something that they will always tell you. Dad will always say, I am sorry. You cannot let pride, arrogancy, rule your way. I look at this young man preaching this morning, all the hopes and aspirations of the pastor listening to him. I don't care. Listen to me. I work with hundreds of teenagers. And I've seen some of the most finest, some of the most godliest, some of the most people that read the scriptures. Almost, I know one lady that read 22 chapters a day. Maybe you do more. But I saw that one young lady who surrendered her life to mission field, 22 chapters a day. She messed her life up in 1 year out of high school. She got pregnant, married out of wedlock, and the baby was born. It was born for the rest of her life. She spent the rest of her life taking care of that baby because the baby did die premature later, several years later, because of the heart issues. I don't care who he is, what he's done, where he's been. It is a constant everyday battle that you have to watch out for and be on guard constantly. I don't care how good of a man you are, you have to watch it tomorrow. I don't care what kind of a godly person everyone says, I have to watch it, you have to watch it. I am on guard for 24 hours a day. Advice that was given to me years ago that has helped me to this place, to this point, it was this advice. I walked into my, when I went to college, a small Bible college, and my whole basketball team was literally kicked off the team and sent home. Two of them were left, and one of them ended up getting messed up, and the other one was soon to graduate. Now I'm all by myself. I'm standing there alone, no other basketball team there, and we played NAIA. If you ever know anything about NBA, our team played against Dennis Rodman. Not that I'm bragging on it. The guy back then had no earrings, no tattoos, nothing. So we were playing ball. Here I am, now I'm into my basketball season. All the team was sent home, and except two, and one got kicked out later, and the other one graduated three months later. And then as he graduated, I'm all by myself. I walked into the office of the dean of students. And I walked in there, and I was crying. Because I said, you know, I really feel like I'm next. Something's going to happen to me next. I know. I said to Bob Ross. I said, Brother Ross, I know I'm next. And I was crying. And he said, Scott, this is the best advice I've ever gotten. He said to me, he said, Scott, run scared. I say to you this morning, run scared for their sake. Run scared. Stand up, if you want. Stand up. Stand up. I mean, run scared for her sake. If you lose, you fall, everybody will forgive you. They will. Your wife very well could forgive you. But you will have a hard time forgiving yourself. Herod the Great made a decision. It was selfish. It was prideful. But that one decision affected more than 300 years. I'm assuming that they all led to be 75. I could have looked it all up, But I did. I'm sure I did at one time. I don't remember. I didn't write it down. But I'm estimating every life lived 35 years or 300 years. But you know, they probably live longer than 35 years. So one decision, you say it's nobody else's business. I say, yes, it is. It's everybody's business. It's their business. She got one child. It's his business. The child to come is his or her business. Yes, it is. Everybody's business. And I also know this. Wives turn. It's not just husbands anymore. It's more wives that turn. We've got to be careful. Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. You see, it was years ago when I told you the state of Ohio declared me who I was. These girls were not born. I remember when my son was born for the first time. I saw this child. I saw that child with a watch. I saw that child. I wept. I couldn't hear it on the phone, so I called my pastor at 5 a.m. in the morning. I know he had nightmares every night because he's a military man. I know he can't sleep well. I knew that. And so I got on the phone and called preacher. I said, preacher! You have to understand, I'm 32, 33 years old when I had my first child. We've been married 8 years. I'd already been praying over 16 years for my first child to come. When I was 17, I began to pray. And so here I am. And I am. I not that I wanted a child at 17. I was just praying, Lord, prepare me, prepare her. Explain that to you for you. But when the day did come, the child was born. I'll never forget it. Man, that when it came out, and everybody, my wife was, she was relieved. And everybody else was laughing. Everybody else was excited. This is no joke. I'm not exaggerating. I was standing aside. I was like, they're all happy. But I was scared to death. I said, my son's head was pointed. My first child. So I didn't know. So I walked over to the nurse, the female nurse. I said, is that normal? But when that was done, I was so excited. I went and called my pastor. I said, preacher, my wife had a baby. He said something to me, and I figured he couldn't hear me. So I said, my wife had a baby. He said something else to me. I couldn't hear what he said. And I said, my wife had a baby. 4 times. I said, my wife had a baby. He finally said, Scott, did she have a boy or girl? Oh, the boy. Oh, my goodness. My life was to change, and God bring these beautiful girls with us, mold in up to a family. Because one day, four of the girls who were teenagers invited me to Christ. They took me to their church house to listen to Daddy preach. I was raised in a divorced home. I was raised in the projects. I had every reason to fail, but yet God had a plan. But I want to say to you this morning, as good as the miracles are, tomorrow they can be shambles. Can I say to you this morning, as I wind everything down, I have to ask myself all the time, is my passion for something that I should not have greater than this? You see, I'll have a momentary satisfaction here. For that moment. But the moment that's done, my conscience will fight. My conscience will be unhappy. My conscience will be insecure. The greatest policeman that you have is the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. And the Spirit of God works in your heart and tells you about the things and says, do, don't, do, and don't. I tell my young ladies all the time. Now, they are about as stubborn as any girl I've ever met. I found out with this girl that if I don't do that, she'll get more. But if I say, I'm very disappointed in you. She'll weep. I found out in this girl that I could just talk and say, you shouldn't do this. I found out that they're different. Personalities are different. I don't know where she got hers. But I know something. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made, marvelous all thy works. God had a plan for her life. God had a plan to use her in a way that I have no understanding yet. And so it be with her. But one day, thank you, girls, but one day I can make a decision like Herod did and destroy it all. Are you two married? You two married? How long have you been married? 1 month. Holy cow. Remember I told you last night, that's a little bit ago, we buried a man that's been married 1 month. Cherish everything you have. The holiness of coming to church. You say, well, it's not holy about coming to church. There's something helpful about coming to church. Are you a born-again Christian? You're a born-again Christian? Then there's something that the Spirit of God works. And I promise you, your first year, my first year with her was a challenge. I never forget, Pastor. I'm laying there on bed. We had a little issue before I went to bed. And I went to bed, went to sleep. Now I understand, this is 27 years ago, okay? So I can tell this story now. I won't tell. Don't tell a story right after they happen. Do not tell them that. She'll take you home. She'll take you in the shed. She'll get the whip out. She'll whip you. I never forget. I was laying down in the bed, 3 a.m. in the morning. She was literally looking right down on me, weeping. I said, "I'm over this. I'm done." It's over with. I went to sleep 3 hours or 4 hours ago. You're still thinking about it. That's nice part about being deaf. You don't have to hear the tears or cry out there tonight. But you see, there's something you have to work on and you develop. But you know, you think you love her now, and I'm sure you do. But the time goes on, you're going to love her more. If you keep the Spirit of God in your marriage, as you walk with God and you love God, God can do something special in your life. And then as a result from that, you'll have some children. And then they will love God. You're constantly becoming a new creature. Constantly. You'll never eventually become until you get to heaven. I got to stop. I got to hurry. But here, this happens. You can pass salvation down to your family. It doesn't come automatically just because you're a Christian. Because you're a salvation, you let Christ rule in your life. You learn to become a very giving person. You become a giving person. You sacrifice. You're not selfish. You don't hold in everything. You're living a joyful life. Your joy in the Lord is passing down to your children. Now, I like to tell people, I joke sometimes, I come to church with a happy heart, a happy book, and happy socks. You can't say it. You ladies back there can't say it, okay? I come to church with, they call those happy socks. But those things won't make me happy. They just give you a smile. And they're not pink, by the way. I do have a... Well, never mind. That's another story. Never mind. A preacher one time, his wife had taken white underwear, and they put them in collared clothes, and they turned pink. And the wife said, "You gonna wear them?" "I don't throw them away, they're brand new. I ain't going to wear them because if I have a car wreck, everybody will see it." But you be faithful. I was talking to you, thank you, to pass it down. Faithfulness is a simple thing, but it's a hard thing to do. Humility. You be kind. You learn to praise. It takes care of jealousy. You be patient. You have purity. You live and be a hard worker. And you pass these down to your heritage. And you will one day grow old. And they all come to see you. and to be rejoicing for doing what was right. I was looking at young people yesterday. I was looking at young people the other day, and I was saying, you know, it'll be a hope. I watched a song leader and his wife. You don't have any children, do you? No. But you know, one day they'll get old. And they'll have, if nothing else, they'll have these children that will love them. They can live a life that honors God. One day these young people will grow up and they'll come running to people that love God because they honor them. Thank you, gentlemen. If you don't mind, just settle down right there on the way out. I've got to hurry. Just settle down there. Just walk off and settle down there. You say, you must be willing, let me say this, you must be willing to give up things. Praying is good, but praying will get you nowhere if you're not willing to pay the price. Yet I know what curses are. By God's grace, I must break these curses. The curse is enough that my son, grandson, and the great-grandson do not have to suffer. A curse is like a bicycle going downhill. It gains speed. It gains speed as the bike going down. The speed gets greater and greater. They can no longer handle it with their feet. They let their foot off of the pedal, and the speed goes and continues to turn. But as it's turning, fear sets in. I've got to stop. And until somebody has the courage to put the foot back on the pedal and stop the bike, they are going to crash. I say to you this morning, we have got to have courage if we're not going to crash. Please understand, pray for me. Because every day I have to make a decision. You have to make a decision. I'll close with this story very short. Two boys in Chicago, one was 11 years old and the other was 10. The boy took a 5-year, these 11-year-old boy and this 10-year-old boy, they climbed one of the highest buildings in all of Chicago. They took this 5-year-old boy all the way up. And when they got up there, they took this little 5-year-old boy, and they dropped him off into his death. He came tumbling down, landed in the concrete down below. The 10 and 11-year-old were up there. The police came and arrested them. They dropped this child to his death, but that was not the end. His father of one of the boys was sitting in prison. And he says, his father in prison was listening to a preacher who came to visit him. And he said, "Preacher, let me tell you a story. Do you remember hearing the story this past week about a 10 and 11-year-old who threw a 5-year-old boy to his death? Do you remember hearing that story?" And the pastor said, "Yes, I did. Yes, I do. I remember hearing that story." He said, "That was my son." And the pastor looked at him and said, "Oh, I'm so sorry." And the pastor and the man that was in prison said, "Pastor, you don't understand. That wasn't the end of it. That's not the worst part. The worst part is, and they don't care." You ever heard of the word inertia? I-N-E-R-T-I-A, did I say it right? Inertia. It is a tendency of a matter to remain at rest or to keep moving in the same direction unless an effect from the outside force changes it. It has a tendency to remain in a fixed condition without change. That is how I'm saying to you. In physics, it has this way of staying until you and I will have the courage to put our foot on the pedal and stop the downward spiral. Fathers, take time to say, "I'm sorry." Humble yourself. Show humility in your home. Live the life of Christ that he wants you to. Because curses and blessings are on its way, whether you want it or not. Herod the Great. Herod the Antipas, almost. Paul says, try to convert him. Thou almost persuades me to be a Christian. Almost. Antipas said, Agrippa said, thou almost persuades me to be a Christian. But I'm saying to you this morning, he did not break the curse. He almost broke the curse. He didn't have the courage to stop the forces of what was happening in his family. I pray you do. Father, help us this morning. Help us to love you, honor you, and keep our minds in that as we battle to fight the flesh. May we continue to have the blessings of God on our home. We need you. Oh, Father, help us now. With every head bowed and every eye closed, Pastor, if you'll come this morning, I want to ask you this morning that you'll search your heart. Have the humility. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Pastor.